This is Preview. I'm Rob Kennedy. Our guest this week is Camden Shaw, cellist of the Dover Quartet. Camden spoke about the quartet's new recording of the late Beethoven string quartets. Camden Shaw, the liner notes note that the lyrical song-like vocal writing pervade the late quartets, delighting the same audiences who flocked to Rossini's operas. Can you give our listeners some examples from these last works of Beethoven to illustrate that comment?
Actually, interestingly enough, as a quick aside to that, in my view, Opus 74, known as the Harp Quartet, is actually, in a way, the first of the late quartets in this sense. It's the first quartet where he builds a slow movement around a very simple melodic theme, and it's a gentle theme in variations that's quite expansive, quite lengthy, patient, and very, very emotional. This is contrasted, for instance, with the Opus 59s, and in 59.1, it's a beautiful slow movement based around a beautiful theme, but it's not a theme in variations as much as it is a theme with different sections and a much more conventional format. In the late quartets, this new style of having a gentle theme in variations that's quite expansive is very common, and in Opus 131, for instance, this really long slow movement is a theme in variations which becomes increasingly explorational and wild as it goes, but it is built around a very, very comfortable, approachable theme. And in Opus 127, it's the same thing, where this gorgeous, simple tune is explored really, really deeply and thoroughly. So I certainly agree with that comment. On the other hand, though, he was also really, as we know, pushing the envelope in terms of what the audience could enjoy. And in some cases, would begin with something quite approachable and then transform it into something strange and challenging. There's a beautiful ease to his melodic writing that's still there, is still very comfortable, especially in the slow movements of the late quartets.
Tell our listeners how the Dover Quartet got its start and what inspires you four remarkable musicians.
We actually formed in a rather unusual way, in the sense that the four original members, our first violist, Milena Pahor-Vandestad, having moved on from the quartet. Four original members began actually as two pairs. So when I entered the Curtis Institute of Music with Milena in the same year, we were playing together in all sorts of groups, piano quintets, trios, quartets. This was the case also with our future two violinists, Brian and Joel. They had actually met at a music camp before they both went to Curtis. Once they got to Curtis, they immediately started playing together in many groups. Actually, by the time the Dover Quartet formed in late 2008, both the lower strings and the upper strings had already been working together in other formats for several years. So there was a familiarity and a sort of common approach to the instruments in that way. So it slowly assembled. Then we were working together for a year or two, and some faculty started to be really, really openly supportive and encouraging, saying, you know, you should try to pursue this quite seriously. And so that inspired us to really go for it. To answer your question about what inspires us, I think inspiration for us changes, of course, throughout the years and even throughout the day. I think we're very inspired by some of the great players of the past. We still continually listen to some of our favorite artists for inspiration, these including very much, for instance, the Guarneri Quartet and the Vermeer Quartet, and also violinists like Joseph Silverstein, who was also a coach of the Dover Quartet in the beginning. We really admire a lot of the principles and core philosophies of this era of string playing, and I think we hold that dear. Not just to be cheeky about it, but one can find inspiration even in the little things now, even in a cup of coffee or seeing an interesting film or piece of art. On the road, as we tour, we try to seek out and be open to new experiences that would give you fresh ideas and fresh angles of inspiration.
What future projects can we look forward to from the Dover Quartet?
We have some really, really cool projects in the works, I have to say. One that I'm very, very excited about is a project involving the Eulalie Quartet, which is spelled U-L-A-L-I. Although the Eulalie Quartet's no longer performing, they were a quartet of four Native American women who wrote a lot of their own music, most of their own music, their music is incredible. It spans in style all the way from very traditional Native American music to wholly original, very inventive melodic harmonic writing. And they wrote all their music together, but it sounds like a quartet. I mean, it's a quartet of vocalists. We have become increasingly intrigued with how Dvorak was inspired by Native American styles of writing and singing, and wanted to do an album showcasing that relationship. So we're going to have an album that includes a Dvorak quartet and also some works of Eulalie transcribed with their permission, thankfully, and I'm very excited that they're on board with this project. Transcribed for quartet by the incredible working composer now, Jared Tate. Jared is also Native American in heritage and writes music that, again, is both at times very modern and inventive and challenging, and also nods to his past. It's going to be an intriguing CD, and I think open up a lot of new connections between these worlds.
Camden Shaw, thank you so much for telling us about the Beethoven last quartets, late quartets, and the future projects of the Dvorak Quartet. Thanks, Camden.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on.
Our guest on Preview has been cellist Camden Shaw of the Dvorak Quartet. For more information about our programming, please visit our website, theclassicalstation.org. Thank you for your support.